This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, 1 week before the midterm elections, President Trump proposed an executive order to end birthright citizenship for illegal immigrants.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Why does the president feel like it's necessary to send active duty troops to the border when he's already sent National Guardsmen down there who are doing the exact same job as the active duty troops would be able to do?
The president's number one job and number one priority is to protect the safety and security of Americans, and he's going to do what he deems necessary in order to do that.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulo.
Welcome to Jay Sekulo Live, 1 week out before the midterm elections. President Trump, he said in the open, yes, he has heard that legal scholars, some believe, that you can end birthright citizenship for those here illegally who then have children by executive order without going through a constitutional amendment or even a statutory legislative change. He said, yes, he's heard about it. Now listen what he plans to do.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
Tell me more.
It was always told to me that you needed a constitutional amendment.
Right. 14th Amendment.
You don't. Number one, you don't need that. Number two,
I mean, that's in dispute.
You could definitely
that's very much in dispute.
Well, you can definitely do it with an act of Congress, but now they're saying I can do it just with an executive order. Now, how ridiculous. We're the only country in the world where a person comes in, has a baby, and the baby is essentially a citizen of the United States for 85 years with all of those benefits. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And it has to end.
And the president, correct there, we are one of just a couple of the industrialized first world countries, if you will, that still allows this birthright citizenship for those who come to the country illegally. There's a lot of different ways to look at this. One, are you talking about those who are lawful permanent residents? Supreme Court ruled way back in the 1800s that if your parents are lawful permanent residents, then you are a birthright citizen. So that is an issue that's been settled for a long time by the U.S. Supreme Court, that you don't have to speculate on the meaning behind the Constitution. The question is, really, if you are the child of undocumented or illegal immigrants in the United States, do you then gain access to U.S. citizenship because of the key part of the 14th Amendment, which reads, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. The question is, were those parents, are they subject to the jurisdiction thereof? Now, they are subject to be deported, but are they subject to the positives that come for being a lawful permanent resident or a U.S. citizen, the protections that come from being a U.S. citizen? Certainly, you are not if you are here illegally. And so the question then is, can you do it by executive order? As the president couched his terms, at first the thought was it had to be done through constitutional amendment. Then it was, he said, you know, certainly through legislation, but potentially through executive order as well. We're going to break all of this down for you today. We've gone through the legal issues here because, again, I think 1 week out from the midterms, the caravan issue also still right front and center, politics front and center, and the president makes this statement about an executive order. As attorneys, we can address this for you and kind of explain the ins and outs of, again, what is a new way of looking at this specific issue. I think you have to boil it down to one of the specific issues, and I'm looking at it through those who are born to undocumented or what we would call illegal immigrants. Are they subject to the grant of birthright citizenship that has been interpreted in the 14th Amendment? What do you believe? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe the president should do this through executive order and fight this legal battle? It will certainly be a legal battle in the courts, no doubt about that. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Birthright citizenship for illegal immigrants' children. 1-800-684-3110. It wasn't until the 1960s until it even started to be applied this way. Very interesting.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
We are 1 week out from the midterm elections, and the president, in just a piece of an interview that will be airing later on HBO, mentioned the idea of birthright citizenship. He's asked a question about action through executive order when it comes to those born from illegal immigrants. So we got a question coming in. Christine on Facebook, she wrote, Jordan, what is the difference between illegal immigrant and undocumented immigrant? It is a matter of choice of words. The left typically likes to use the word undocumented immigrant. It's seen as more PC because, again, undocumented. The truth is, what does undocumented means? It means you're illegally here. So there is no difference. I just try to use both terms because people sometimes hear one and think, well, maybe the other doesn't apply. It applies to both because they are in effect the same thing. Take a listen to President Trump. He was asked, have you spoken with, as you plan on this executive order? And again, there's different ways to write this executive order. I mean, we're just getting the very general statements from President Trump. Has he consulted counsel? Take a listen, bite two.
Have you talked about that with counsel?
Yeah, I have.
So where in the process?
It's in the process. It'll happen.
So, I mean, there he's saying it's in the process. It'll happen. I believe the focus will be primarily on those who have no legal right to be in the United States. So call it undocumented, call them illegal, who then have children. And just to give you kind of some statistics about that, this has peaked, but just back in, I think it was, there's been 370,000 of these children, according to a 2016 study. So the numbers are kind of all over the place, depending on how you define the term. In 2014, there were about 275,000 babies. 275,000 babies were born to unauthorized immigrant parents, so illegal immigrant parents. That's about 7% of the 4 million births that year. U.S. citizenship, of course, is a grant it's very important. The difference between getting birthright citizenship and being naturalized actually has long implications for what kind of office you can hold in the United States. Can you be president of the United States? But also the rights and responsibilities that come with it are all emanating from one part of the Constitution. It is the 14th Amendment, which reads, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state of where they reside. That is the big question, Wes and Harry. Are you subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? in a positive way when you are here illegally.
Right, and you go back and look at Wong Kim versus Ark, the 1898 case, which was the last time the Supreme Court definitively dealt with this. They put qualifications in their decision that the parents of this Chinese American, they were here legally and were doing legitimate business in the United States. And so what we're looking at, and I know a lot of people just assume that it's law that if you're born here, no matter the status of your parents, you're automatically a citizen. While that is settled practice, Jordan, it's really not settled law because the Supreme Court has not dealt with this directly since 1898.
Yeah, I mean, you look, and it really wasn't until the 1960s until this started becoming acceptable that we just kind of said, okay, well, if your parents were here legally, that doesn't matter. You were born here, so you're a citizen. We're not really, and I don't think the president's intending to change this for lawful permanent residents and even people who are here temporarily but lawful, but instead for those who are here totally illegally without any kind of proper paperwork, that they are not subject to the jurisdiction thereof of the United States in a positive way. You look at Harry, the Constitution, the positives and negatives of law. And in a sense, if you're here illegally, it's the negative that you're facing as the jurisdiction. And the jurisdiction is you can be deported, but that the U.S. government owes nothing to you other than the deportation proceeding itself.
I think your analysis is spot on. Birthright citizenship is tied to the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment codified the 1866 Civil Rights Act. The 1866 Civil Rights Act quite clearly exempted from automatic citizenship children of parents who owed allegiance to a foreign power, i.e., those who were in the United States only temporarily, and particularly those who were in the United States illegally. Consistent with that analysis, in 1884, in the Elk versus Wilkins case, the Supreme Court rejected the citizenship claim by an American Indian who was born on a reservation and subsequently moved to a non-reservation territory because the claimant was not subject to the United States jurisdiction at birth. So the key question is, are the parents subject to the jurisdiction of the United States? If they are not, then there's some doubt as to whether or not their children, their offspring, are indeed citizens of the United States. And lastly, let me add that the United States is one of only two developed countries, according to the International Monetary Fund, that allow for birthright citizenship. So clearly this policy is questionable.
And not only that, Jordan, a number of countries in the last 10 or 15 years have changed their laws to explicitly forbid what is pejoratively called anchor babies in their country,
right,
so that you're not automatically a citizen if you're born there. And that includes the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, France, and India. Those five countries have said no longer are you automatically a citizen if you're born here.
If you want to talk to us on the air, what's your opinion of this and the president doing it by executive order, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and how this could influence the midterm elections. I mean, with the caravan issue, with this issue on the executive order front and center, 1 week out from the midterm elections, as people are voting right now in early voting all across the country, how could this impact the midterm elections as well? I think you can't take that away when you're talking about this. Cynthia on Facebook, and then I'm going to get to some phones, asked this one. I think it's a great question. Can individuals from another country come here to the U.S., visit, so basically a tourist visa, have their child be born here so that they will be American citizens? This is called birth tourism, though the Obama administration has cracked down on this. Right now, under the current laws, yes, you could, if you came here under a tourist visa, happened to have the birth while you were on that tourist visa, you would then, your child would be, or could be, if you so choose, a U.S. citizen by birth.
Absolutely. So essentially what we've had is a deliberate premeditated practice by some visitors to the United States to ensure that their child would indeed be born in the United States. And then they would take the child back to the home country of the parents so that the individual could later claim, the child, citizenship in the United States and perhaps citizenship in China or Japan or some other country. It's important to note that at least one of the 9/11 terrorists was born in the United States, in the state of Louisiana. His parents then moved abroad, I believe, to Saudi Arabia. He was raised abroad, and then he came back to the United States to do what? To terrorize Americans. In other words, he did indeed owe allegiance to a foreign power, yet he was treated as if he were an American citizen based on birthright. That makes no sense at all.
Let's go right to the phones. Linda called in from Colorado on line one. Linda, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for taking the call.
Thank you, Linda.
So my comment is, to me, when I sit back and I look at this, I feel it's very black and white. If you are illegal to the United States by any type of measure that means, and you're pregnant and you have a baby, I do not think that child is a U.S. citizen because the parents are not. I think it's black and white. If I go to Saks Fifth Avenue and I steal a coat, I'm going to be arrested or prosecuted. And they're not going to let me go because I was cold.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I understand what you're saying there. It's the argument of, again, and you make the important distinction, legally versus illegally. I think if you are here legally, and that does not mean you are a U.S. citizen, there's lots of ways to be in the U.S. legally, then your child who is born here is a U.S. citizen by birth. Now, I think you could look at tourist visas, so people that are really here for short-term visits, and you could look at those who are totally and completely illegally here, undocumented, whatever term you want to use. I think that's kind of the starting point. Getting broader than that probably does take more of a constitutional amendment approach or a statutory approach at a minimum. But when you look at those whose parents are here illegally, even the statute that kind of defines this constitution provision, it doesn't, you know, it's not touching on these issues directly. This idea of those who are totally without rights, where their parents have no connection legally to the United States of America, but for being there illegally. We continue to take your phone calls on it. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 1 week out before the midterm elections, over 5,000 troops heading to the U.S. border on the caravan, and now this issue on birthright citizenship and executive order. So much to talk about today on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
One week out from the midterm elections, and President Trump, in an interview, was asked about the idea of an executive order ending birthright citizenship for those who were born, the parents were illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants. Use whatever term you would like, that they should not be automatic U.S. citizens. We're not talking about those who have lawful permanent residence. Supreme Court has already decided on that. We're not talking about even people who may have green cards to be here, to work here on a more temporary basis. I think we're talking about those here illegally, potentially those who kind of this idea of baby tourism or birth tourism, where you're using a tourist visa to plan around when you will have your birth. And the Obama administration even cracked down on that, by the way, and the companies that were arranging that. I think it's very important to note that there's been a crackdown on this since the previous administration as well. The big question is, can it be done through executive order, even in this limited sense of those who are here illegally? It all goes to a term in the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, which is that all persons born or naturalized in the United States, and here's the key, and subject to this jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States. What does it mean to be subject to the jurisdiction thereof? Are you, as an illegal immigrant, subject to the positive jurisdiction of the United States, i.e. the protections of the United States? Just so how do you define being subject to the jurisdiction will be key in how far the president can go via executive order, how far the legislative branch could go, and the need to even potential constitutional amendments as well. Of course, all of this would likely be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court as well. This is going to be something that would be fought if and when, as the president said, he will issue this executive order. Let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Actually, before we do, I gave the Facebook and Periscope audience an update on this. For those of you who listen on radio and don't get us during the breaks while we keep talking, there is a news reports out. We have an office in Pakistan working on the Asiya Bibi case, that mother of five who's been in prison for 8 years and on death row. As her case is at the final appeal at the Supreme Court in Pakistan. A verdict has been reached, and it is being reported that verdict will be announced, whether she will live or die, sometime this evening, U.S. time. So in the late evening in the United States. I've instructed our team here who works directly with our Pakistan office to keep our social media team updated so that if this verdict is released this evening, that we get that news out to you about Asiya Bibi's fate as quickly as possible. Now, I always would say with an asterisk, this is the Pakistan Supreme Court. There have been a lot of ups and downs, things that get reported, say that are coming, that don't end up actually happening that day. But this is what is being reported. It would be monumental and very important. So we are tracking that very closely. Pray for Asiya Bibi. Pray for her family. Pray for the judges making this decision. And pray for the right outcome, which is her freedom, release from prison, and a release from this death sentence, which should never have been imposed on her. We will keep you updated on that case coming out of Pakistan. Let's go back to the phones. Listen, we're going to take people who are in support, people who oppose. And again, we're taking this off a brief mention and discussion of this by President Trump with a news organization, very limited in how he's discussing it, to illegal immigrants who are here, who then have a child. Is that child a U.S. citizen? Right now, we're allowing that to become those children to become U.S. citizens by birth. It's happened really only since the 1960s that has been accepted. The issue is, can that be changed by executive order? Rosie's calling in from California, has an opposing view. Rosie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm opposed of President Trump's statement because he is not very clear on what he's saying. I was born here. My parents were illegal. I had so many wonderful opportunities. I got to go to college here, everything. I have four brothers. My four brothers were in the military. I lost one in Afghanistan.
Yep.
And it's a slap in the face to me that he says that, because my brother was thankful to be born in this country and he served his country.
Well, you know, Rosie, here's how I would say is that this has nothing to do with those who took advantage of this pre a change. And so it's not retroactive to affect your family. I think that there has been a change significantly from the time when your parents came here and your brothers and you were born here to today, where we have a whole industry around this. There's an industry around birth tourism. There's an industry around getting over the border illegally to have your children here for that purpose of getting them U.S. citizenship when you don't have citizenship yourself. And there has been a change around the world. So I don't want to take anything away, Rosie, from your family's experience, your brother's loss, proudly serving his country. And it is his country that he served and fought and died for. It is your country, Rosie, to be proud of. But what the president is talking about is moving forward, is this the right policy for America? And other countries in the Western world have said no.
Absolutely. So the United States, perhaps along with Canada, is the only remaining country in the developed world that authorizes birthright citizenship. It's important also to note that there has been a skyrocketing number of children born to illegals. So in 2016, the number approached 400,000. That is an absolutely huge number. And so policies have consequences. And so we should seek to deter birth tourism. And this proposal would, as you correctly point out, Jordan, not affect those individuals who are already here. The focal point is on ending the practice going forward.
Yeah.
And so I think there is perhaps some unwarranted fears that have come up with respect to individuals who are already here. The president has also proposed legalizing some illegals over time with the cooperation of Congress. What we're talking about is a proposal that would look at new births and in this practice. And I think, at least based on my legal research, it's clear beyond question that the United States Supreme Court has offered various opinions on that particular question going back to 1884.
I think this is what we can answer very quickly. Larry in Indiana has this question for us. Larry, welcome to JSecio Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm in support of changing and correcting the immigration laws. So I'm in support of this move, but I believe it would either have to be done through legislation and or the an amendment process for this reason. These reasons, you know, for many years now, the people that were born, babies that were born, even on possessions of the United States, a Coast Guard helicopter, military ship.
Yep.
We're considered citizens.
That's defined in the U.S. code, right?
Right. Second, if someone comes here, I'll take a scenario. If a male illegal alien comes to the United States across any border and then does not marry but has children by a U.S. citizen.
Oh, then the child is a U.S. citizen. One parent is enough, and that is defined also, even if you were born abroad. There's some time issues there, but if it happened in the United States and a parent is a U.S. citizen, one of the parents, then that child is a U.S. citizen. That is not an issue here on what President Trump is talking about through this executive order. We'll be right back on JSecio Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
On immigration, some legal scholars believe you can get rid of birthright citizenship without changing the Constitution.
With an executive order.
Exactly.
Right.
Have you thought about that?
Yes.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
The president says he has thought about it, yes, and he's gone a step further, Will. Let's play it for everybody. His idea on this executive order, he says he's consulted with counsel, legal counsel. I'll take a listen.
Have you talked about that with counsel?
Yeah, I have.
So where in the process?
It's in the process. It'll happen.
There you go, from the president. Now, I'm focusing it on illegal immigrants, call them undocumented, if you will. So both parents being illegal or undocumented, having a child in the United States, is that child automatically a U.S. citizen by birth? It is not a question that has been settled by any court case. It is not a question that you could say is totally clear by the Constitution or statutes, because the statute on this issue, when they took the Constitution, they put it to 8 U.S.C. Section 1401 of the Immigration Naturalization Act. They just quote that first part of the 14th Amendment, person born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. What does it mean to be subject to the jurisdiction of? It doesn't say or. It is a requirement that you are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. That means something, that phrase. So it's more than just being born in the United States. That phrase, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, is there for a reason, both in the Constitution, in the 14th Amendment, and in the statutes that have followed it. That has a meaning. How far it goes is what is at issue here. I think the Supreme Court has already been clear. If you are a lawful permanent resident, have a child here, they are a U.S. citizen. Right now, if you are here illegally, those children are U.S. citizens. I mean, even if you were here illegally, that is how the U.S. has been treating those situations since the 1960s. The president looking at doing this via executive order appears to be in a limited way to a limited group of individuals that are here illegally. There's also this idea of this birth tourism, the idea of these people who are planning births around and companies that set this up. The Obama administration really fought back against those companies as well, because those people would get tourist visas that have the children. I think that's an issue as well to talk about here. So we're going to get into all of it, 1-800-684-3110. And let's not forget, we're a week out from the midterm elections. We've got this caravan issue as well. But people have a lot to say on this topic, and I want to go right to the phones. Greg in South Carolina on line 3. Greg, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jay. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a permanent resident in this country, and when I originally applied, I had to apply for a temporary visa while they were processing my green card. One of the things I had to do was appear in front of a judge and agree to deportation processes or have it actually in place that I'd been deported should I break the laws of this country.
Yeah.
My question is, how could anybody even get to that position of claiming citizenship when the laws are already broken?
You know, it gets into that issue of, is the child that is being born breaking the law? At what point did they make the decision? Now, and so that's where it gets fuzzy, Greg, just to be honest with you legally. That's why there will be battles over this and discussions, the heated discussions over it on both sides of the aisle. But I think what you brought up, Greg, and what I hear too from so many people is those who came here legally, those who went through the process to be either become ultimately, maybe Greg is planning ultimately becoming a U.S. citizen, it takes a long time, but who went through the temporary status to the permanent status and ultimately to the citizenship status, they are who are most offended by these laws, that people can utilize this to jump forward. We'll talk about it when we come back for the break, but to me, it's always interesting to hear from those callers who've had to go through this the legal way.
Right, right. It's very unfair to the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people waiting to get permanent residency or citizenship that they are pushed to the back because of illegal people coming in and jumping ahead of them. That is on the face of it, not fair.
We keep taking phone calls, so we keep opening up lines for you. There's two right now. If you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. The idea, the president will end birthright citizenship for the children of illegal immigrants by executive order. He announced the plans to do that. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. An important update on Asiya Bibi as well. We get back from this break.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Before we get back to the issue, President Trump discussing the executive order that's in the works on ending birthright citizenship, specifically for those born to illegal immigrants or undocumented immigrants. Someone asked the question, well, what if one of the parents was a U.S. citizen, a legal, you know, U.S. citizen? Well, then the child would be a U.S. citizen. That is not what this executive order appears to be about. It appears to be limited in the what the president can do by executive order. And still will be litigated, by the way, certainly. I without a doubt, this probably goes all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. If, in fact, this executive order is implemented by the president, he has said it is in the works to do so. We are a week out before an election. We have the caravan issue. I think when all these issues come to play, what a bigger issue here is to also clarify the Constitution, the subject to the jurisdiction of you got. We talked about this at the break while video was running for our Facebook and Periscope audience, that a past caller who is a lawful permanent resident, he got hauled before a judge when he was a temporary resident, and he was told that if you violate the laws of the U.S., you're gone, which you said it implies right there he was still subject really to the jurisdiction of his home country.
Yeah, the implication definitely was that if you break the law, we will send you back to the country over which they have jurisdiction right. over you. It's a good thing in a way. I know the president's critics are jumping up and down,
sure.
and they're all upset. They're saying this is inhumane, but we cannot operate as a country on settled practice or settled assumptions. And that's all this is. Because the last Supreme Court ruling was 1898, and because the Immigration and Naturalization Act is not clear on this, we need to settle this either through legislation or through the Supreme Court so that we're not operating under settled practice or assumption, but actually under settled law that is clear. That will put this to rest. And in spite of what the president's critics are saying, at the very least, he is forcing us to deal with this issue and to get some clarity that will be good for all of the nation.
Let's go to Monica in Texas online too. Monica, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
We got you.
Okay. I just wanted to comment and say that I'm in favor of the executive order, particularly for the vacation people who come over from all over the world just to have their child be an American citizen, and also for the people, and I'm in Texas, the people in Mexico who are just literally coming across the border to have their child here so that they can become a citizen. And, you know, that's, you know, a concern of mine. And I actually work with a guy from South Africa. He's here legally. He had to go through the whole process. Right. And this is something he and I have talked about, that he thinks, you know, we talk a lot about the different issues, particularly immigration. And he thinks it's a, you know, he suggested this long before President Trump did, that, you know, there's no other country, or maybe I think he said Canada, that, you know, I can't go over to England and have a child and, you know, they'd be an English citizen or
no.
Whatever.
No, you could not. I mean, and in fact, what it would mean is if you look at U.S. law, if you were there and you're a U.S. citizen and just you, or if your husband or partner was also a U.S. citizen, but it could even just be you, then your child is an American. And that nothing changes, by the way, under what the president's talking about here through this executive action. 1-800-684-3110. I want to keep taking calls on this. A lot of questions, a lot of comments coming in, and a lot of good info to get out there about this. And I think it's an important discussion. Jan is calling in from Virginia Beach, Virginia, online 5. Jan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. You're on the air, Jan.
So my thoughts or my questions or comment are about the undocumented, the illegals who come in and have their children, and their children become residents, and they have no way to pay. So I am a labor and delivery nurse, and I work in a hospital. And when they come in, then our social services and so forth get in touch with the families and help try to get them Medicaid or something to help pay for their hospital bills and so forth. And their children, from my understanding, once you have Medicaid, your children now are covered under the Medicaid system until I think they're 12 years old or older. So there's a financial burden on the citizens as well. And my thought is, why are we not looking at that and taking care of our own citizens, our elderly and our underprivileged and our, you know, people that are in poverty, and helping them with this more so than these illegals who are coming over here just for that service, and there's no other country that you could go to and get that.
No, I mean, and you're talking about a serious thing where then once they are born, and under the current interpretation of the law and how things operate, you then gain all these rights, the rights to Medicaid, which then flows to, again, the child, which is how the birth is covered financially at the hospital from parents who are there illegally. And I mean, it brings a whole host of issues and problems, and sometimes it can be we don't want to have these difficult discussions. But I think you're being very brave, Jan, as a delivery nurse. I know you care about those kids that are being delivered there, and you wish them no harm. It's the idea is that you see it so often, the financial issues that so many people are facing, and that we are not focusing in on those who are already inside of the country. So I really appreciate that call, Jan, because I think you're seeing it from all these different sides. We have another person, by the way, who's calling in, who has immigrated here, gone through the process. Let's go to them. Let's take a listen to what they have to say. Rob in Utah, online 3. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Rob.
Yeah, I immigrated in the 80s. I came through as a student, got married, long story short, got my citizenship, did it the legal way, had to have financial sponsors so that I could take care of myself. My situation was I had some minor children from a past marriage in Australia that during the period of time lived with me off and on. I went to school here in the United States. As an adult, one of those children wanted to come live with me, and I thought automatically he was, you know, in the system. He was here for a period of time, then went back to Australia, came back through LAX, was detained at the airport and refused admission because they said he overstayed his visit by a few months just weeks ago. He refused to be deported. He was put in jail. He remained there for 10 months. At some point, back and forth on suicide watch. It was a distressing time for him. Anyway, they told me that they weren't going to let him in the country. He had never committed any crimes. Long story short, I reapplied for his citizenship status. It was granted while he was in custody. But there's a 6-year waiting list for Australians. So in the end, they weren't going to let him out of jail. He was 10 months in jail. I said, son, go home, wait in line, I know you have to wait 6 years now before you can get your citizenship or return to the United States, but wait in line, do it the right way. And I'm totally offended that people think that they can come to this country,
yep,
break all the laws, circumvent the system, and bump people like my son, who I believe has good standing to be here.
Yeah, but you're here illegally. His father's here legally. I know there's issues. There are immigration issues. I would have, if you would have consulted an attorney, they would have told you, Rob, that because he was an adult and not a minor, there were some issues there. But he went through a horrendous process, and his father's a legal U.S. citizen. And you ultimately said, after that horrendous process, just go through the system. He got granted the citizenship, got put on the list. This is how long it will take you before you can come and start that process, but you can. That's what I keep pointing out. I mean, I just want to go to both Harry West here. It is very difficult for those who want to come here legally already, and they go through a lot to get U.S. citizenship. It is important to them, their U.S. citizenship. We, as Americans who did not go through that process, sometimes take it for granted. They don't. And when you hear those kind of stories, even stories of difficult immigration detentions and telling your son, nope, go back and do it the right way, we got you granted citizenship ultimately in years to come. These are the kind of stories that should be focused on because these are very important. These should be just as the tearjerkers as well, instead of just the illegal immigrant crossing over to bypass people like his son.
Yeah, we are a compassionate country. I'm a compassionate person. I understand if I lived in one country and I was poor and I looked across the river and I knew that I could go there and better my life, I too would want to come. But you can be compassionate, and yet we must have compassion for people like the caller and his son as well. And there has to be order. There has to be structure. That is not antithetical to compassion. We need to fix our immigration system. It is broken. Congress has done nothing to fix it. The compassionate thing to do is to fix immigration.
When we come back from this break, we'll take all your questions. That's what we do in the final segment of the broadcast. We just go right through the calls. Who's been holding on the longest? We start there. We work our way down. There's some phone lines full right now, but if you call, I guarantee you some will open up. 1-800-684-3110. Let me give you this important update, too. We are expecting tonight, late tonight, if you're hearing this broadcast, so much later in the evening than we are live, a verdict in the Asiya Bibi case, the blasphemy case, where she's on trial for death. It's a death penalty trial, criminal trial. The verdict from the Supreme Court, final verdict expected later on tonight. Follow ACLJ social media. Our team in Pakistan will be keeping us updated on that verdict expected from the Supreme Court of Pakistan on Asiya Bibi's fate. Pray for her and her family and for that court.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
This is the final segment today on Jay Sekulow Live. We have so many questions coming in about the president's discussion on issuing an executive order preventing birthright citizenship for children who are parents of illegal or use the term undocumented immigrants. That limited to that topic. Now, some could say maybe tourist visa could be included in that, people who don't have lawful permanent residence at the time. But now, those who do, even if they aren't U.S. citizens, that has been decided by the Supreme Court way back in the 1800s that their children are U.S. citizens. So we're talking about a narrow category, but a lot of people who are doing it in the hundreds of thousands each year. I told you we would take your phone calls in the order they come in, and we're going to do that right now. Vicki is calling from Michigan on line 6. Vicki, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. I just want people to know I agree with President Trump. My grandmother was born in the United States in 1909 to parents who had green cards, and until they took their oath of citizenship, their children that were here, I think they had 4 at the time, they later had 9, none of them were considered citizens until their parents, one of them, became a citizen themselves, and I agree with what Trump's doing.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us have this experience. Laws have changed since 1909 and been clarified since 1909. When there were those big immigration waves in the 1900s and green cards were given out, you were correct that the children, especially if the children weren't born in the United States, some were, some were not, but if they weren't born in the United States, had to also apply for citizenship as well. But laws have been changed, we could say broadened out as well. But I think, you know, appreciating our history and realizing that based off this constitutional provision, things have changed significantly, really starting in the 1960s. It was really that time period when we started to allow this idea of being born in the U.S. to totally parents with no legal right to be here, call them illegal immigrants, call them just passing through illegally, call them undocumented, that suddenly that child is a U.S. Citizen. Back to the phones we go. But again, that's the 1960s. Before that, we did not have policies like that. It was a much different process. Israel called in from Arizona on line 4. Israel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Israel, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Hello. Yeah. Hi. My name is Ishmael. I'm calling from actually Arizona. What happened is I just want people to understand I'm an immigrant myself. I came here and naturalized, and I'm a U.S. citizen.
Yep.
But I just want people to know that people out of the country knows the U.S. laws better than people who live here.
I bet.
So they know how to manipulate the system well. And the naivety of Americans, I just cannot believe it. Let me give you an example. For instance, Liberia in Africa. I was born in Africa.
Yeah.
Liberia, in their constitution, stipulates that a white man can never be citizen, whether you are born there or anything, except you. Even if you marry to one, you can never be citizens. You can only be able to own a land by marrying to a Liberian. So when you see all these things like China, for instance, you got to be Chinese,
right.
You know, Finland, whether you born 1,000 children there, they all cannot be citizens. So I think Americans need to be educated to rules outside of this country. Maybe they will understand what you guys are talking about, because it's unfair to Americans that we can come here, we can have dual citizenships, but Americans cannot have dual citizenships with these other countries.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Some countries do allow dual citizenship with the U.S., but I think what you said, Ishmael, which was dead on, I'll let our guys discuss it, then we want to get to more calls, is that, one, we have these unbelievably open laws here. We're a country that welcomes immigrants because we're a nation based on immigration, not by what race you are, but nationality you are. We're a melting pot. But second, what is most important is that the people outside the U.S. know our laws better than we do, and they know how to manipulate them.
Yeah, there are so many loopholes and inconsistencies in our laws. And I think the average American, the caller's right, we do not understand it. People that are trying to get here, they understand it very, very well. But there is no real definitive statute that deals with what we're talking about today, and there's certainly not a Supreme Court precedent. And that's why I think what the president is doing will force our hand as a population to actually deal with this and to come up with something that can be articulated and that is understood by everybody.
Ishmael's call illustrates the necessity of reforming the U.S. immigration system. So I think President Trump is right to suggest change. Change is necessary in part because many foreign nationals fully understand the loopholes that already exist in U.S. law.
Carol called in from Austin, Texas, online too. Carol, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. You've sort of addressed my point, I think, in that I really don't, I'm in total agreement that something has to be done about the birth babies, but I don't understand why President Trump would do it by executive order, knowing how easily it can be undone by executive order, unless it's his typical kind of modus of operandi.
It's not how he wants to govern. He has said that, but sometimes it's the only option. You could do this as a short term. If it is ultimately decided he has the authority to do this, this would be a stopgap. It does not guarantee that future presidents will not undo an executive order, but it could start the process to do legislative reform and then ultimately get this before the U.S. Supreme Court, even if it needs constitutional reform as well, or if the Supreme Court decided this has to be amended to be more clarified, though I think it could definitely be done statutorily. I understand your concern with executive order, but sometimes you've got to do what you can as kind of stopgap measures when you've got a problem, hoping that you get to the long-term solution, which executive orders are not. But this is not a president who wants to govern by executive order, but also is, if he's got the power to do things, there's not a reason not to utilize that power in the meantime while continuing to work on more permanent solutions. So not giving up and forgetting that, hey, this is all we have. Let's try to take these final two calls of the day. JT in Connecticut on line 5. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, thank you. I have a statement of fact, and then I have a question for all the listeners. So my statement of fact is that there is a political party, the Democrats, that supports lawlessness and illegal immigration. There's a party, the GOP, the Republicans, that supports laws. Now, the question I have for all the listeners is, what could it be about the Democrats, and what could it be about illegal immigration, that the two seem to marry themselves so well? I would like everybody, as they go to the polls, to consider exactly why the two are married so well.
I can answer for you very quickly. Demographic changes and shifts, and a hope that one day it will be Democrats who ultimately bring forward legal immigration to this group of people. Because guess what? The Democrats have stood in the way of Republicans' attempts, including President Trump's attempts, to bring legal status to these individuals who are here illegally but have been here for a long time and have not committed crimes. He has tried to do that, and it's the Democrats who have stood in the way. They don't want Republicans to get the credit for that. I know it's getting very political, midterm elections, but that is the best way I can answer your question. Now, remember, tonight we are expecting the verdict in Asiya Bibi's death penalty trial for blasphemy in Pakistan. She has been in prison for 8 years. This is a monumental moment. This is the highest court in Pakistan, a three-judge panel of their Supreme Court preparing to issue. They have announced that they are preparing to issue the ruling on whether she lives or dies. We're working. Remember, we have an office in Pakistan. We're working with that team. We will keep you updated through our ACLJ social media as soon as that opinion is announced. Stay with us on ACLJ.org and on social media through the evening.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.